Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by my co-host Contreras. What's going on, Contreras?
Not much is going on, man.
Not too much. We're short our other co-host because apparently he has this thing about trying to detach body parts from his body.
He said he cut his hand.
Yeah, well, he had his foot accident, remember, so now he tries to get rid of his hand, so.
What does he do that keeps on losing his body parts almost?
He's a carpenter.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he's working with, like, anyway, he said he kind of cut his palm, so don't worry, Craig's okay. He's not.
He's at home getting high. He's at home getting
yeah,
high.
Yeah, he's at home getting high, basically. And he needs to send some of that medication my way because that kind of medication is bad for you, Craig, and you shouldn't be taking it. You can get addicted to it, and we don't want that.
It's illegal to have it if it's not prescribed for you. That's what they said on Cops.
Yeah. So, so Craig is not joining us today, which kind of hurts because we do have two guests today, and I'm sure that you're not overly familiar with one of them, and I'm sure you're not familiar with the Japan portion of Lance Archer's career that he's been making a name for himself. So try and help me out a little bit. I'll try and carry it, but just try and help me out a little bit if you can.
I ain't making no problems.
Yeah. Well, I can carry most of it, but you know. Yeah, what sucks though is we don't have anyone to do the intros. So there are going to be some code intros when we introduce our guests here.
Okay.
in a minute and then in an hour from now. So let's do it. Let's see what we can do. But other than that, how's everything going with you?
It's going okay. No problems.
Cool.
It's been raining here last night. It rained pretty hard here, so.
Yeah, it's been raining pretty much all day. When I do my paper route, I have all my streets first, and at the very end, I have my apartments. And wouldn't you know, when it started raining, right when I have to start getting out of my goddamn car. So that kind of sucks, but I'm going to call our guest here. Can you think you can handle it, or you want to play some audio or something while I'm gone?
I'm gonna play some audio, or else it's gonna be bad.
Okay, well I'm going to start trying to call right now here. So I will be back here in a couple of minutes, and I guess I'll cut it off when I get back.
No problem.
Cactus Jack doesn't have the best win-loss record in the NWA. You know why I think that is, Jim? He's just like a guy like Dr. Death. He needs guidance. He has all the skills and all the ability. Cactus Jack just needs somebody to tell him which direction to go in. Right now, Mascara's out on the floor. Hey, Cactus Jack could be setting him up for that big elbow. We've seen him do it before. The elbow right off the apron of the ring. He's setting him up for it, but Mascara's doesn't look stunned. Wait, Mascara's getting back in the ring. Cactus Jack doesn't know he's there. What in the world?
Oh, God, out of concrete.
Oh, no.
Out of the back of his head.
Oh, no.
Concrete.
Cactus Jack is dead. He's done it this time. I've never seen anything like that.
His head just smacked that concrete. He was away from the mat. That's a concrete floor fan.
He went 10 feet out onto the concrete. No human being could get back up after that. But he's doing it.
There was no mat there. He fell right on the back of his head on the concrete.
Kelly Blanchard, Arn Anderson, James J. Dillon, Ric Flair, the Four Horsemen. Most powerful name in professional wrestling. Their strength is legendary. Their stamina is boundless. Their endurance is...
Okay. Hello, everyone. We are joined by our guest tonight. He is a former TNA superstar. He's a former WWE superstar, and he is currently kicking ass and taking names in Japan for New Japan Wrestling. And we'd like to welcome Lance Archer to the show. How are you doing tonight, Lance?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. It's just kind of rainy down here in Texas tonight.
Yeah, we finally got some of the rain. I had seen that it had been down in Houston and I think San Antonio a lot lately. It's been pretty dry until yesterday and today. So.
Yeah, we need it. It's been a pretty hot summer this year. And I'm glad that tomorrow is the last day of summer. And hopefully we get some cooler weather down here.
Yeah, I'm hoping, man, for sure.
Now, Lance, the main thing I wanted to talk to you about is I've always heard about this tournament in Japan every year. I'd never seen it before. This year, though, luckily, a lot of people were able to be introduced to it, and that's the G1 Climax. And for the fans who don't know, could you kind of explain what exactly is a G1 Climax?
Well, the G1 Climax is possibly the biggest singles tournament that goes on in all of Japan. Out of all the companies that exist and how long it's been around, this year was the 23rd year they've done it. The building where the finale is held, the final is held, is called Ryogoku. It's a sumo hall. It's a very world-famous traditional sumo hall. And they sold that building out, I think, 3 months in advance for the final, and we did two shows in a row in the building. The night before, I think we were about 80 to 85% full. You know, it was about 9,000 people. And the final night, there was over 12,000 people in Ryogoku at the sumo hall. So it's one of those things that, you know, the people in Japan, New Japan's done a great job of creating a market for themselves in the wrestling business in Japan that, you know, they're just destroying anything and everything else that is over there. You know, they're the one company that's still making really good money and is moving forward in their business. You know, they have a lot of great talent, a lot of great wrestlers, guys who, you know, could stand up to anybody that calls themselves the best in the world in any aspect from any company, and they would shine just as bright with those guys. And then they have also done a great job of introducing more characters in the last few years. The guys who are taking care of the booking and whatnot have adapted more kind of a Western style, an American style, with more characters, good guys, bad guys, storylines, groups, things like that, where, you know, the people are getting more emotionally involved and they're getting great wrestling. So the combination of that is just creating such good business for New Japan right now. And this year was probably, you know, I've been lucky enough to be at a part of the last 3 years. And it's been amazing how much stronger this year's G1 was. You know, the 2 years before that it did it, it was a big thing. It was a big deal. All the shows were a big deal. You know, the wrestlers were a big deal. But we added more workers, more wrestlers this year. And whereas normally I think we had 16, we had 20 this year. And, you know, at first thought, many people I think thought that might kind of dilute it because there were so many guys. But what I think it ultimately did, especially with the caliber of guys that were added to it, and the ones who'd already been a part of it and the ones that were moved forward with it. It just made every night like it was WrestleMania type atmosphere. It's like every night everybody was trying to top each other and work their butts off and perform at their very top level. You know, and that's hard to do because we did 9 shows in 11 days, and the guys who were in the finale had 10 matches altogether because they had 9 shows, the 9 matches and the 9 shows, and then they were in the finale. So they worked two times in the final night. And Tanahashi, Hiroshi Tanahashi, who, you know, has been a main guy for New Japan for a long time, he worked the last match right before intermission, and intermission only consisted of the 15 or 20 minutes that they had for intermission, one special tag match that they had, and then they finale. So he worked his match, which was at least 20 minutes long, had a 15 or 20-minute intermission, a 10 or 15-minute match that was in between him and the finale for the night, you know. So that guy is just, you know, he's a workhorse. He truly is one of the best in the world. So the G1 is a tournament that if the world doesn't know about it in the professional wrestling sense, they need to search it out. They need to find it. And this year's is an amazing example of what this truly is about, you know, and it made everybody step up and just look amazing.
And the way it works basically is you have 20 guys and it's broken up into 2 groups of 10, and every guy in each group wrestles every person in their group one time, and I guess their points are added until the finals to where the 2 top guys meet at the end. So it's kind of like the NFL, or it's like the AFL and the kind of meeting at the end. And it's real simple. It's not like TNA where they have this this tournament every year that they change rules or forget to have matches, or it just doesn't make sense to people. It's hard to follow. This is plain and simple. It's right there, and it's a great tournament. And I'm trying to think back, because I saw, you know, I did see every show, and I'm trying to think, did you not start the whole thing off in the first match or second match?
Was the second or third match? I don't remember, but I mean, it was one of the early matches. It might have been the second match of the night for the first night. And it was me and Ishii, who just, I don't know if he's been in the G1 before, but I know he hadn't in the last couple of years. And ultimately, he was the MVP of the whole thing. At the end, they had a get together with all the workers and the staff, and it was voted upon. And he tore it up. He stepped up like I don't think anybody ever expected him. I mean, he's always done good, but you know, he's always kind of been that guy that was just there for the company. And he did things that I don't think anybody thought he was going to do, or I don't know if they didn't know if he could do it, but he did it, and he did it in a fashion that just, he outshined everybody.
Yeah, he, like I said, I hadn't seen, like, a whole lot of New Japan. I kind of would follow it on the internet and through the Observer. I had never seen Ishii. I had always kind of thought he was more like a, I almost want to say like a third banana as far as like a third member of a team. You never heard too much, and then on this tournament every night he came out, and he kind of came out with this attitude of, you have to kill me to beat me, and he put on a great match. I mean, you two guys tore it up, and I couldn't believe when you gave him, you had this incredible finisher. I don't even know how to describe it. It kind of starts off like a reverse diamond cutter into a power bomb. And when you did that to Ishii, he's kind of short, but he's got some weight on him. And you did that to him, I just was there with my eyes agape. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was, like, incredible. And it was a really good match.
I call it the blackout, and it starts out like a reverse razor's edge. Like a razor's edge, but with the guy turned around facing the same direction I am. And then they flip over, so some people have called it an inverted power bomb and things like that. I don't know if there's ever been a real technical name to it, but I call it the blackout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very impressive. And when you did it to Ishii, it was very impressive. Like I said, he's not the smallest guy. And
he's super compact, but man, he's awesome.
Yeah, and that was a great match. So, like, of course you won that match. How did you feel about that match in general?
It was awesome. It was awesome. It was a great way to start the tournament. It was one of those things where, you know, we were one of the first couple matches. And, you know, it's not that in the tournament, every match is important because the points are what matter at the end of it. It doesn't matter whether you're the first match of the night or the last match of the night. If you win, you get points. If you don't, you don't. You know, if you tie or double count out, things like that, there's a 1-point split. So it's the points that matter. You know, it was one of those things where people knew we were going to put on a solid match. I don't think there was any doubt that we were, the both of us were going to step in there and just have a good solid match. But we had a really, really, really good match, and I think people were pleasantly surprised at that, and, you know, it surprised us in a good way, because I don't think, you know, we'd worked some tag match stuff, but I don't think we'd ever worked any kind of singles match where it was just him and I, and the I don't know, it was just all really good, you know. And I challenge people, you know, you're talking about the G1 and people not seeing it, and they can go research it on YouTube or dailymotion.com or whatever they want to kind of find where it's at. He had a match which I think embodies the term strong style pro wrestling, you know, what people think of when they think of Japanese strong style pro wrestling, something that doesn't happen on a regular basis, but I think people think of it, and it's when Ishii fought Shibata. Yeah, those two had a match. Oh, my goodness. It's one of those matches where if you think of Japanese strong style, that's it. You know, and then it was just, oh, my God. Like you're talking about, you're going to have to kill me to get me done. Well, that's basically what those two did.
Yeah, it's like the closest thing, like you could say that pro wrestling, like if pro wrestling was a real fight, that's what it would look like.
Yeah.
Kind of, in a way. That was an incredible match. Your second match was actually against a guy who's getting a very big push lately, and that's Prince Devitt.
Yeah.
And he has a different act. He has, like, you know, he has his seconds, and he has interference, which you don't usually see in New Japan, but it really works. He's like, to me, he reminds me of a young Chris Jericho, especially with his jacket.
Right.
How did you feel that match won, that you also won?
Another awesome one, man. You know, Ferg's probably one of those guys in the business. You know, if New Japan's smart, they'll find the money and they'll lock him into a contract and never let him leave, because he's, as far as the Gaijin are concerned, he is what they want. He is what they need. You know, everybody fits in different ways, and I don't want to blame myself in any sense, but he is something and somebody that if they let go, they're making a big mistake, because there's no way you can find somebody right now to replace him. You know, he's that good. And, you know, him and I, again, we'd worked some tag match situations and things like that, and, you know, knowing where he was at with the company and whatnot, what we had, especially where we had it, was at Corken Hall, which the energy at Corken Hall is unmatched anywhere else in Japan. And, you know, it's a smaller venue. I mean, only about 2,000 people at full capacity, and it was completely sold out. But, man, it was just one of those things where the energy was insane. You know, he's done, and with his group, the Bullet Club, that it consists of him, Carl Anderson, Machine Gun Carl Anderson, now Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, the Bad Boy Tama Tonga, you know, those four, and then they've got a couple other guys that come in and out from Mexico, but those are the four main staples of the Bullet Club. And, you know, Ferg's just, he's on fire, man. You know, and it was one of those things in that building, and they've done such a good job of getting people just to hate them and loathe them, and anything they do, they just get on them about. And myself and my partner, they're Davey Boy Smith Jr., you know, with Suzuki Goon and KES, you know, we've been strong, strong, strong heels. And by the end of that match, I was getting my name chanted like I was one of the biggest babyfaces in the company. So it was one of the craziest moments in my New Japan pro wrestling career. So, but it was awesome. It was awesome.
I really like how they're booking Devitt, because in New Japan, you have your heavyweights and you have your junior heavyweights. And very few junior heavyweights have ever really made it to the main event or beat main eventers. And with the Bullet Club, they found a way for Devitt to get over on Tanahashi and Okada. But I did like the fact that when he went against the super heavyweights, the super heavyweights were just too much for him, and, you know.
Right.
And, except for maybe Makabe. I think he beat Makabe, who's a pretty big guy. But as far as, like, you and Davey, you guys killed him at the end.
Makabe is, you know, I mean, he is a big guy. I don't take anything away from him and Tanahashi. Tanahashi looks like an action figure. You know, these guys and Okada is probably next to me, and Davey Boy Smith Jr. is the tallest one there. You know, me and Davey are a little bit above him there. But, you know, those are all fairly big guys, and Devitt does step it up, man. He can wrestle with anybody. He can wrestle with anybody, man. Nobody needs to be counting out in any situation. Doesn't matter whether it's a super heavyweight or a junior weight or a middleweight. Doesn't matter. He's right there. His talent and his ability is top notch.
Oh yeah, he's fantastic. The next night, you mentioned Okada. You wrestled him on the third show, and the best way to describe Okada, who had a brief run in TNA, and TNA did not know how to use him, unfortunately. He, right. To me, he reminds me of a Japanese Randy Orton.
Yeah, definitely, but he's much more cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah, and he's also the champion right now at a very young age. And he's doing great. How did you enjoy that match?
It was awesome. I mean, I really don't have – there wasn't really a match that I could sit back and say that I didn't enjoy or that I didn't think was good. The only match that felt kind of awkward was working with Shibata, and that's just because it was just a very, mismatch of styles, and we'd never worked together in any sense before. So it was just – it wasn't bad by any means. And unfortunately, I think of all the shows that we did – the crowd that match that I had with Shibata was in front of was one of the oddest crowds we had the whole series. So, you know, that's the only match I could say, you know, I wasn't completely happy with. But other than that, everything else was great.
Cool. And then the next night you wrestled, you have to forgive me, I don't know how to pronounce all the names, so I'll just say what I can. You wrestled Goto. And I know you had a series of matches with your partner, Davey Boy, against Goto and Lee Carl Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And Goto was having a great tournament. Unfortunately, he got his jaw busted and had to bow out. And,
yeah, that southpaw slap that Tanahashi had is wicked evil.
Yeah. Yeah, that was because you could pretty much tell right when he had it broken.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because, you know, Goto is one of those guys that he's always been right there at the top. He's won the G1 before, you know, and he's got an awesome character. I love his entrance. He's probably got the coolest entrance in all of New Japan with the Last Samurai gimmick and everything, and it's awesome.
Uh-huh. And when going back to the other the last show, your partner Davey Boy, he wrestled Tanahashi, and that was one match that people were raving about that night. What did you think of that match with your partner?
Davey, are you talking about the match I had with him or the match he had with Tanahashi?
The match that Davey had with Tanahashi.
Awesome, man. Yeah, again, it's one of those things where, you know, both of us have been doing great, especially with the tag division. I've been there for, you know, 2+ years, and this is my third G1. So they kind of knew who I was and where I was at and what I was going to give them. I'd like to believe I stepped it up in places that they didn't expect. And Davey is kind of the same way. I think he's still, in a sense, finding his feet there, but in the same sense, because of what we've done as a tag team, they know what we do as a tag team. They really enjoy it. They really like it. They really like KS. They really like the personality that we brought out in that. And this is his first real big singles thing. And he had a pretty good showing in the New Japan Cup that we had, but this was the first real big showing opportunity for him. And working with Tanahashi, especially in the main event of that show, you know, he stepped it up in ways that he can do. It's funny when we always say people didn't expect it. They just didn't know. It's not that they didn't expect it. They expected him to do great things, but they just didn't know. And the fact that he produced the way he did is an awesome thing. Going back to what I was saying about Devitt earlier, as far as being the gaijin that the company needs to take a hold of and not let go, Davey Boy Smith, he's 28 years old. He might be 27, I can't remember. He's super young. He's a young little kid, man. But he's a 6'5", 270-pound, muscled-up kid with the heritage of his father and the ability that he has and the shoot background that he carries. You know, when he truly figures out the character that he wants to portray in New Japan, he's another one that he could easily in the future be a champion for that company. Easily.
Yeah, I heard him do an interview not too long ago where he mentioned his time in WWE where they just wouldn't let him do moves. Like, he couldn't do power bombs. They wouldn't let him do the power slam.
I don't know, man. That's all, you know, another issue, another situation. I'm not even going to discuss that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I'm trying to say is in Japan, he gets to go all out, and he gets to, he gets to, you know, do all his moves, and, I mean, he really is really, really good. I mean, he's just he's a hoss, you know, that's the best way to describe him. And, Now going back to like, I was going to ask you about your match. How did you like your match with Tanahashi?
It was good. You know, it was really the second time I'd only ever worked with. I've worked with Tanahashi one time in the first G1 that I was part of. So this is only the second match he and I'd ever had in the 2+ years that I've been with the company. It was good. It was another one of those situations where, you know, I mean, he'd been main eventing every night. You know, we had an opportunity to go out there and then, you know, start the second half of the show in the right way. And it was really good. I thought it was really good. I got to, unfortunately, I missed the high fly flow, but I think it was pretty until I missed it.
Yeah, it was a good match. A lot of people consider Tanahashi to be the best worker in the business.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He looks like a, like you said, an action figure, like a rock star. I mean, he just has, he looks, you see him and you see, like, superstar when you look at Tanahashi.
Yep, he's one of those guys. He has the ability, he has the look, he has the character. One thing, he does a great job at, you know, when he's in cities and whatnot where maybe he's not the most popular guy to the fan base, he's real good at changing his style just enough to kind of not turn, but he does enough to go, okay, you don't like me so much, I'm not going to, you know, be so nice tonight. And he changes his style tremendously and on the fly, and he's so good, man. He truly is. If you want to, I think, break it down and truly say who's the best in the world, as far as wrestler, in the ring, ability, look, everything combined, total package, Tanahashi is the guy that should be represented that easily.
Yeah. And another match you had is with one of your rivals in the tag team division, and a guy who's a veteran, been along a long time, but I thought he had one of the best. I mean, he was also one of the guys who had just a great run, and that's Kojima. How did you like your match with Kojima? What did you think of Kojima's G1 run? Because he had some great matches.
He definitely had some great matches, you know, and he finished off the right way because he's challenging for the IWGP title soon. But he and I have had some awesome battles, and I think we had another one. And like I said, it was the night before the finale, the finals, so it was a hard night to work in front of the crowd because, you know, they're gearing up for the next night, for the final night. But he and I definitely tore it up and gave the people something that, you know, again, not that they didn't expect it to be good, but they didn't expect it to be as good as it ended up being.
Yeah, and then that leads us to the last night where you ended up having to wrestle your tag team partner Davey Boy, and
right.
You guys had one hell of a match, and it was like we like to on the show refer to it as a mean guy match when you have two just bad guys fighting, but it was a mean guy match, but you guys kind of worked it. I mean, you did a moonsault, you know. I mean, it wasn't just like a big guy brawl. You guys were actually kind of like working like cruiserweights at times with some of the moves, and it was just a fantastic match. And it looked like you guys were having fun. So, how did you like enjoy that one?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, working with Davey, like I said, I truly think he's the future of the business, especially in Japan. And for him and I, you know, it's the battle of the tag team partners, KES versus KES. You know, so it was one of those fights, especially for the people they really enjoyed, but they didn't know. I keep going back to that. This is a whole different kind of, they didn't know what to expect because it's the partners fighting each other. Where does this go? Does this separate them? Does this change things? Does it, you know, make things a little bit different as far as the future of KS is concerned? And, you know, it was just one of those things. It's a single tournament. It's win or go home. It's, you know, we're fighting to get to the finale and whatnot. We're not fighting each other because we're mad at each other. And so for the fans, it was kind of like they were watching really intently to try to figure out what was going to happen. It was two super heavyweights going after each other, which, you know, they really hadn't had the whole tournament. So I think the fans did enjoy it. I think it was at times kind of like they were like, what's going to happen here? But it was awesome. I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, yeah. It was great. I really enjoyed it. And I like how you guys celebrated together at the end, you know. And,
That was definitely to let the fan base know that, you know, things hadn't changed, that, you know, KES was still KES, and that, you know, we weren't going anywhere as a team, and that was just a two warriors fighting each other, and that's all that was, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of the team, you guys were, up until recently, the IWG Tag Team Champions. I believe you're currently the NWA Tag Team Champions, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And you guys, when you guys are out there, you're both managed by another former WWE superstar, and Taka Michinoku. I just totally knew the name.
Taka Michinoku.
Yeah, Taka. And I was kind of curious, since is he just like your guy's manager on the show, or is he kind of like a shoot manager, since, you know, Japan's a little different. It takes time to get used to.
We're all part of a group called Suzuki Goon. Minoru Suzuki is our leader. It's me, obviously me, Harry, Shelton Benjamin now, Taka Michinoku, Taichi, and Suzuki, who leads the Suzuki Goon. You know, so we're all a part of that. Different guys, Takayama's come into it at different times and whatnot, and there's been a couple other guys, but we're the core of Suzuki Goon. So he's a part of that, and so it's just one of those things where, you know, he holds the big black flag up that says Suzuki Goon on it. It's just kind of to show people that we're still there, we're still a part of it, even when we're not fighting together as Suzuki Goon.
Mm-hmm. Now, you think, like you said, you've been going for like 3 years to Japan. I would imagine you've gotten used to it over the time, but what are some of the things that were kind of hard to get used to? Just like stuff like getting around or like ordering at restaurants. I mean, what was difficult at first that you've adjusted to?
The language is the big thing, you know, and just learning a little bit of it, learning a few words can help you go a long way. You know, it's a very polite culture, and if you just go over with the kind of same politeness and you don't go over with any kind of American-style attitude, you can definitely survive there, especially in Tokyo, because a lot of people speak English. The further you get away from Tokyo, sometimes it gets a little more difficult, but the language is always just a difficult thing. But once you start picking up even just a few words, it can help out tremendously.
Mm-hmm. And how do you enjoy the food? Because that's got to be totally different.
Oh, yeah, definitely totally different. But I love it. I've always enjoyed trying different foods and whatnot. A lot more fresh, raw type stuff. They do eat a lot more vegetables and stuff than I think the American diet consists of. You know, so it's one of those things where you just have to go with an open mind and an open mouth, because if you don't, you won't survive. They don't have McDonald's everywhere like we do.
Mm-hmm. Now, and like you just mentioned, the language barrier. Like, how many guys on the New Japan roster actually like speak English? I mean, how many guys are there? Have to quite a bit that you're able to communicate with, or is it kind of like? I would imagine it could be kind of hard to work with somebody that's hard to communicate with.
Yeah, pretty much everybody speaks English to some degree on the roster. You know, some of the guys have been around longer, who obviously have a stronger hold on the languages because they've worked with so many guys, and you know, like guys like Tenzan, who was in WCW back in the day and worked with the NWO and stuff like that, and Nagata, same there. You know, a lot of these guys mostly speak English in some form or manner. Plus, you know, the younger guys too, because it's taught in the schooling system now, and you know, so there's a good opportunity to talk to people. It's not like we're on an island and we just don't get to talk to anybody, you know. Like I said, there's a few guys. Shibata was one of the guys where he pretty much speaks no English. So it was definitely a much more different situation working with somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. And I think you and Davey are going to be working Houston and San Antonio next month. Could you tell us a little bit about those shows? I think you're wrestling Tenzan and Kojima. Is Tenzan able to go? I know he got hurt also in the tournament.
Yeah, he should be good to go. As far as I understand, you know, I think he had one either cracked or broken rib. But, you know, he took September off, so I'm hoping he's still good to go. You know, it's the invasion shows. The NWA has been working with New Japan for a while. You know, Rob Conway has gone over and wrestled a few times. In fact, he's going over again at the end of this month, and he's wrestling Liger for the NWA World title. Like you said, we are the NWA World Tag Team Champions. And when they come over, you know, like I said, we're working with Tenzan and Kojima and Houston. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen in San Antonio. But, you know, it's Tenzan, Kojima, Gato, and one of the young boys is coming over, Watanabe.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the guys who are kind of in charge right now are Gato and Jocko. What's it like working for them?
Awesome. But there's a few couple more guys that are more influential. Gato is the number one guy as far as all that's concerned. You know, they have such a good knowledge of the business. They've been around for as long as they've been around. They know so many people in the business, and their minds are so open to taking the Japanese style, adapting more of kind of that entertainment value, the WWE style, the entertainment side of the business, and they're creating something extremely cool and special in Japan right now.
Mm-hmm. And see, like, in Japan, you've become, like, Japan's always had, like, a foreigner that was, like, a big monster, you know, Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen. You've been there, you look like a monster when you're with some of these guys because they're a little smaller. And you've changed your style a little bit. I mean, I think you're at, like, the peak. You're wrestling better than you ever have. How do you feel about your career right now and everything that's going on? Like I say, I mean, you look fantastic over there.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I think the one thing that Japan has really done for me is given me an opportunity to gain a confidence that I've never had the opportunity to gain before. You know, it was a lot of uncertainty when I was working with the other companies. You know, I didn't know exactly what was happening, where I was going, what direction they wanted me to go or where I wanted to go. So I think that uncertainty creates not a lack of confidence, it's just an unconfident situation. And the one thing with Japan, they're just like, no, this is what we want from you. And I'm like, all right, and I do it. And they're like, no, we want more of that. You know, more just badass monster, kill everybody, don't leave anything but body parts laying everywhere around the ring. And because of that direction, because of that understanding of where they wanted me, it gave me an opportunity to really wrap my mind about who the American Psycho is, how I want to be perceived, how I want people to see me when I step in the ring and when I fight, you know. And I think that's the one great thing that's helped me is that confidence, because I think confidence is key in this business. And when you're given the opportunity to be confident in what you're doing and where you're going with it, you know, you can do some really cool things in the business.
Yeah, and one of the cool things you did is you rode a motorcycle to the ring at the Tokyo Dome, and I was one of our listeners from Ireland. He wants to know who actually broke the news to you that you were going to get to ride the motorcycle down to the Tokyo Dome.
That was my idea, so it was kind of cool that it actually came through. It was one of those things where I kind of jokingly brought it up. You know, I was like, oh, it's the Tokyo Dome, maybe they'll do something cool. I didn't know if they would, just because I knew that our match was going to be earlier in the show. But, you know, again, it's the Tokyo Dome. It's one of those things that they're trying to make every aspect of it really bigger and cooler than anything else they produce all year long. And I brought it up, and they were all over it. They loved it. In fact, one of the sponsors at the Tokyo Dome was the Harley. So I think it was kind of essential that it went down that way. You know, I think they wanted both of us to ride motorcycles, but unfortunately, Davey Boy Smith Jr. did not know how to ride a motorcycle, and teaching him how to ride on the day of the show and then out in front of 50,000 people may not have been the best situation, especially if he lost control by something. So
yeah, you know, that would have been something to see if that would have happened.
Yeah, so that's kind of why it ended up just being me riding the motorcycle. But like I said, it was my idea, and it was awesome that it came through. I'm going to try to pitch a new idea at them this year. I don't know if they'll go for it or if they'll do it, but who knows. Maybe I'll just be riding another motorcycle, which would still be really cool.
And one more question the guy has is he saw your match with Kojima at the Sumo Hall, and he thinks it's one of the best that matches he's ever seen you win. How do you feel about that match as far as your career?
You know, it was. It definitely was. It was one of those things where, you know, Kojima was in a good spot. He and I have always had just a good rapport. We know how to work with each other. He doesn't try to do things that are outside the realm of working with somebody my size. I know where he's at. I know how over he is with the people. And working together, we just had an awesome match. It was an awesome time. It was, you know, especially for the night and what was going on. And, you know, I can't say enough good things about it and about him and the opportunities that I've had to work with him.
Yeah, he's great. Like I say, he was awesome in the tournament.
Yep.
I have a question from someone from Australia, and I cannot remember the name of the shows, but he says that you worked a couple shows in Australia that were,
yep,
the way he described it, were kind of disasters. I was wondering, do you have any thoughts on those shows, or can you tell us what exactly happened? I think there was a very, very little attendance.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think the guys who were in charge of that, they were a little overwhelmed. I think it was just a situation where they needed a lot of help to help them, as every independent company needs. They need people that are going to do what they say they're going to do, and you can't do everything. You have to be able to have enough people around you that you can trust and you can delegate some power to, and they're actually going to take care of business. And the one guy that was really funding the whole thing, took tremendous care of me, made sure I was, you know, taken care of in every aspect from beginning to end, he didn't have enough good people around him that would have really helped him make that something good and special. And unfortunately, I think that's just kind of what happened. You know, we went into a couple places. We went into one place specifically that, you know, I don't even want to say the number that was there, but it was very, 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 very small. When we started kind of tinkering into what happened and what went down with the promotion and the show, it was kind of one of those, well, you know, he gave money to one guy to go do promotions, and that guy supposedly said he hired other people to go do the promotions for him with the money he was given, but just nobody ever did anything. Not one piece of promotion was put out for the show, and it doesn't matter who's on the show, whether it's me or whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. If nobody knows the show is happening, if nobody knows who's going to be there, nobody's going to show up. And I think that's just kind of what happened with that whole tour for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's too bad. But, I mean, like I say, you're doing great in Japan. Now, a lot of wrestlers, their goal is to get to the WWE, and you've been in the WWE, you know, you did okay in the WWE, and now you've gone to Japan, and you're doing great. Do you feel like you want to stay in Japan? Would you like to go back to the WWE? Where are you in your point of your career?
You know, this business is about always achieving the top goal that you can achieve to. I love my spot in Japan. I would prefer that I got a long-term contract that gave me the opportunity not to have to worry about anything, and I just knew where I was at and where I was going. Talking about that confidence scenario. If I had that behind me, it's one of those things where I would know where I'm at, I know where I'm going, and I know what I got to do to continue to earn what they're giving me. The way my contract works with them right now, anything could happen. You know, and it's one of those things that if WWE saw something that they liked now that I was doing in comparison to what I was doing when I was there before and they came calling, it would definitely turn into a conversation of what's best on both sides. You know, what opportunities exist, and like I said, who knows? WWE's hired back people at times, and you said, really, they hired them back? And I might be one of those guys to most of the fans in the world that go, really, they hired that guy back? But I think if anybody's seen what I've done in Japan, if I can reproduce that in WWE and they give me the same platform and opportunities, nobody will stop. But I have to get that time and opportunity.
Now, how is your relationship with WWE? You know, some guys have bad ones. Some guys leave on very good terms. And like you say, they come back later. I mean, is the door open for you there still?
I don't know. I don't have a bad relationship with anybody. In fact, it's been a little while now, but they were in Dallas back in March, and I went and I hung out backstage and talked to pretty much everybody that I knew that was, you know, there when I was there and whatnot. And it was a good time. It was a good time just being there, seeing friends, and not having any issues or problems, you know. Saw all the main top guys that, you know, could have easily told somebody to tell me to leave, and not one person did. So I'm in a good situation as far as, you know, relationship is concerned with the people in the company. Whether they see me as a valuable asset, I don't know. You know, I never know. You never know, because you never know who's talking about what and who's seen what I've been doing in Japan, or if they even know what I've been doing at all in Japan. And I'm sure they do, and certain people do. But again, it, you know, they've got 70 or so guys and girls down in Florida at their developmental center, and they may just, in their mind, say, well, we've got all these kids that we can develop into something. We don't necessarily need to go that route. I don't know, but I have a good relationship with everybody as far as I know. I don't know that I have any heat, as a lot of people would say, with anybody down there.
Okay. And before we start to wrap up, I'd like to give you a chance to go ahead and plug any shows that you have coming up, or any social media you'd like to plug. So please feel free to do that.
Okay, cool. You know, as far as the USA is concerned, one of the great places that people can catch me right now is with a company called TCW, Traditional Championship Wrestling. And if you have the DirecTV or Dish Network, they have a show. It's on the Pursuit Channel Friday nights in Texas at midnight, on the East Coast at 1 a.m. You can also check out their shows, because they tape everything for TV, on tcwwrestling.com, and you get to see me and a lot of great talent that is coming up with that company. If you want to just catch me on social media, I have my own Twitter account, and it's just Lance Hoyt/Archer. My Facebook is just Lance Hoyt. I keep my Facebook pretty personal. You know, there's very few people that I don't actually know that are on there. But I do provide information. It is public, so anything that I put out there can be seen by anybody. It's not held private or anything like that. But as far as Twitter's concerned, like I said, follow me at Lance Hoyt/Archer, and I put out pretty much every piece of information that's concerned with professional wrestling. And like I said, with the NWA has got a good group of guys behind them that are trying to help rebuild that name, the NWA name, which has such a historical value in the business. It's two of the great shows that they can come see are going to be in Houston and San Antonio. Check out NWA Houston or NWA Invasion on Facebook for information. Hit up Tony Brooklyn on Facebook. He's got all the information. He's one of the top guys working with the NWA now. These are two awesome shows that are going to happen in October, like you said, with the New Japan guys that are coming over and going to be a part of it. It's going to be a really special situation. So come check out the NWA shows. Check out the DCW shows. I'll be in Meridian, Mississippi with DCW on the 6th. I'm with Elite Championship Wrestling this weekend in Louisiana. I'm traveling all around places. I'll be on House of Hardcore 3, which is Tommy Dreamer's shows that he's produced. He's produced the two before, House of Hardcore and House of Hardcore 2. But I'm going to be on the November 9th show in New York on November 9th. Check him out at houseofhardcore.net. Got all the information on there.
Do you know who you're working on that show?
I have no idea.
Okay. Cool. Lance, I really appreciate you coming out on the show again.
Thank you, Matt.
I really, really appreciate it. And I'd like to just, before you go, just give you any opportunity you'd like to pass any messages you'd like to pass to the fans out there.
You know, I would like the fans to start looking for the good things in the business. Find the positives in the wrestling business. Go watch WWE, watch TNA, look up New Japan Pro Wrestling, watch TCW, go to your local independents, and enjoy professional wrestling. There's too many people that are all over the internet that are just negative about everything. All they do is complain about what WWE is or isn't doing, what TNA is or isn't doing, what the wrestling world around the world is or isn't doing. Stop being so negative. Start to be positive, because the fans are the lifeblood of this business. Without the fans, none of it exists. And the more they choose to go away and be upset that they're not happy with the product they're getting, the less the business is going to exist, the less it's going to be around, and the greater opportunity that it'll go away in bigger capacity. So I challenge the fans. Look for something to enjoy, be positive, enjoy your local indies, enjoy the big times, find something that you like, and stop looking for all the negative stuff.
Cool. Well, Lance, thanks for coming on, and we want to wish you the best in your career in Japan and on the indies, and like I say, wish you all the best, and
thank you very much.
You have a very good night.
You too, man. Thank you very much.
No problem. You have to take it easy. Cool. Excuse me. Kachura, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here. Should ask him if he's been to the Ribera Steakhouse. I just thought of that where you're talking about places to eat.
It kind of crossed my mind to ask him that, but I kind of was like, had like a lot of things I wanted to get in. I just kind of skimmed over that one. But I'm sure he has. I mean,
you hear some wrestlers say that, you know, they haven't really been wrestling in Japan unless they've been there. But.
Yeah. And it's actually a kind of a small place. Peach Machine actually went there one time. And he was inquiring about how, I guess he asked if he could buy a jacket. And the guy was like, kind of no-selling them. And he was like, I guess then he kind of realized that, you know, it's more of a gift than something you can, it's in merchandise. It's not merchandise. It's like Rivera has to give you the jacket, you know.
Oh, like a club or something.
Kinda, yeah. Like you gotta be good enough, or he's gotta respect you, you know, or you gotta be like a name, and he will give you. You can't just go in and buy one. And I used to love when Cesaro was in ROH with Claudio, him and Carol, they would come to the ring in their Rivera jackets, and I thought that was like super cool. I mean, they're cool jackets, and I'd love to have one. I mean, You know, if I had the money, I'd go on eBay and see if I could buy one or something, because they're pretty slick jackets.
Peach Machine, he probably ordered. He said, "Don't bring me what you gave David Von Erich. I want something different."
No, Peach Machine he does eat protein, so he does eat meat. So, yeah, that's kind of funny that you mentioned that. Well, it's not funny.
I had seen one G1 Climax back in. You remember? I watched the tournament. Back in 92, you remember it was for the NWA title?
Yes, yeah.
It was Masachono and Rick Rude in the finals. They had, like, all the WCW guys in it.
Yeah.
They had, like, Steve Austin, and they had Bobby Eaton and Arn Anderson and Barry Windham and Terry Taylor and guys like that in it.
Yeah. I remember that Chono and Muda had, like, a hell of a match.
Yeah, I saw that match, too.
When they had the rematch that was on WCW pay-per-view, it wasn't as good as the other ones, but I mean, yeah, I remember that period. I mean, when the WCW would go to Japan and have, like, the mixed shows, those were all
awesome.
Yeah,
like when they do the little two-hour pay-per-views every year. I remember that they drew, like, 60,000 people. I remember that first one with Flair and Fujinami, where they did the dusty finish, I guess. And they brought the match back for Super Brawl a couple of months later. Yeah, that was a big show because that was like the first time the Steiners were over there, and they were like tailor made to wrestle in Japan. They wrestled Pase and Sasaki. So.
Yeah, that was back when Sasaki was young and looked a lot different than he does now. And he had that awesome mold.
What I saw from guys from Japan back then was just when WCW had a good relationship with them, they'd all, you know, like Hase and Chono and Muda and Sasaki and all those guys would come through every once in a while.
Yeah, I liked it back then. I mean, I really liked watching the different guys. You know, never forget Muda's run when he was like the TV champion. I mean, he had a great run, and then whoever had to book that stupid Starcade and have him job out every match was kind of stupid. Because he was at his peak. I mean, he was hot at the time, and I think that also led for him finally like going back. And
it's been no wonder why he left. They made him job like three times in one night. But he'd been undefeated for like a year or whatever it was.
Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, he was like. And I remember I think Terry Hart may have mentioned it once or twice, but they didn't really play it out big time, but wasn't he like supposed to be like the son of the Great Kabuki when he first came out?
Yeah, they said that like the first when he first came, it wasn't quite as bad as saying that the Giant was Andre's kid. So, but yeah.
I remember that was funny. But
I think if Andre the Giant had a son that big and was in wrestling, I think people would know. So.
Yeah.
And obviously he's not his son because he didn't leave him any money. He's broke.
Yeah, that's right. Andre, I'm sure what he left behind a pretty sizable fortune. I mean, Andre made some money. I was just watching because we had brought it up the other week with Antonio, but I was watching the Unreal Story of Pro Wrestling the other day.
Yeah.
And they show parts of that famous interview with Vince where Andre's like standing on a box. So freaking Vince looks like a freaking midget next to him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But, yeah. that was pretty funny. But before our next guest calls in, hopefully she'll be calling in here within 5 to 10 minutes here. What did you think of the pay-per-view?
It was, I won't say it was a bad pay-per-view, but it was just like kind of there. Not much to it. I mean, nothing really.
Yeah, there wasn't.
Nothing really blow away, I thought.
Well, the main event was pretty good.
It was good.
I actually
didn't notice the fast count. To be honest, I really didn't notice the fast count. when it first happened. I go back and watch it.
I didn't think it was a fast count, but I thought it was like slightly a little faster, but it's not nothing that like kind of registered until I started, you know, heard the Dave show, and Dave brought it up.
Well, it helped when they put the two counts next to each other on the screen on Raw, like the way you usually count. It did look fast.
Well, when they showed that. But I actually thought Raw was better than the pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, Raw. I think they undersold Dave, and I thought that was one of the best reactions of the year at the end of the night.
Everybody in the stands was doing the yes and jumping. I mean, that was like a great visual, you know.
That was one of the things, you know, they were, they said, they're doing this every week, they're like killing the baby faces. And I said, well, if this wouldn't have been built up like it was, the reaction wouldn't have been as good, I don't think. You know?
And you know, they did have Ziggler and RVD, but, I mean, as far as everyone else, you know, the crowd still, they popped big time for them when they ran out. And did you see how the Usos, who, you know, they're big guys, but they're still in good shape, how they had that, they kind of had like a head start, and Kofi just outran them and just overtook them. Usain, like he was Usain Bolt in the Olympics. I mean, because he was like about a good 5 yards behind the Usos, and then he got to the ring before them. And then it was funny that he was the only one that got jacked in that
Yeah, I think
Raw.
They just did that. I think they just did that to, like, keep Roman Reigns kind of strong.
Yeah.
You know, definitely see something in him, because I don't think he's done any jobs yet, has he? The other two have.
The times that he's, like, been about to, like, I think there was one match where Brian had, like, his hold on him, and he was able to, they had a disqualification. But we're actually getting another caller here. Let me go ahead and put them on the line here. Caller calling from area code 270. Who's it?
Hi, this is Leva Bates.
Hey, Leva, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic.
Oh, that's great to hear. That's great to hear. Now, am I not mistaken, but are you currently doing another podcast right now?
Actually, no. It's supposed to be called You Guys, right?
Yeah. I thought you were...
Wait,
I tried
to call the right number, right?
you did call the right number. I thought you had told me you were calling from some horror thing.
I am. I'm actually walking down the street of Horror Nights. I don't know if you can hear, like, music in the background.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cool. Now, Lola, the reason I wanted to have you on the show, and I've been trying hard for, like, weeks to get you on, is I saw you WrestleMania weekend at the Simmer Show at the WrestleCon, and it was the first time I had ever seen you, and I instantly fell in love with you and your gimmick, and you and your partner, Allison Danger, Three Carino Sister, you guys came out as Jay and Silent Bob, and I thought that was so awesome, so I wanted to get you on and talk about, basically, I guess you could say your gimmick is you're a cosplayer, and, you know, how did that come about?
It's pretty much kind of what I do anyway. I've always been kind of big into geek culture, big into throwing on a costume and being silly. So when you're go through training and they're like, all right, when you come up with your wrestling gimmick, your character, what you want to do in the ring, it should be some sort of extension of yourself. So it's the truer you are to your character, the more likely it'll, you know, be believable in the ring. So this is 100% me. They first tried to, my first school, not Dudley School, the first school I went to for a few months, D-Von was there, but he was only there to, like, work on, like, mat wrestling stuff. There's someone else working with character and promos, and they were trying to get me to do more of, like, a sex spot type thing, and it's just not really, like, I don't know, whether you believe it or not, I just don't see me as a sexy character. I'm just so goofy and silly that, I don't know, I am very me. So it just didn't fit right. I mean, I played the role, I'm an actor, I can do that, fine, but it just wasn't who I am. So when I went to Dudley School, you know, that Bubba was the one that was like, you know, this is sort of an extension of yourself. You can grow and make it change. You grow as a performer. But what do you want to do? And I told him, that's what I want to do. I want to do a cosplayer. Not, this is way before the AJ Lee's and cosplaying became like really overly popular and accepted. There wasn't hardly that many geeks in wrestling. There wasn't hardly that many cosplayers at all in wrestling. So I really wanted to bring that. I really thought it would be kind of cool to see, you know, someone in the ring and your favorite, you know, comic book character, movie character. You really get behind that. You really understand the story of that because you already love that character. I don't know if you heard that. A zombie just kind of yelled at me.
Well, I was about to ask you said you went to the Dudley School, and I have to ask is Bubba, if you look at his character in wrestling, you think he'd be a really mean person and someone who would like yell at the school? How exactly is he? Is he intense? Is he laid back? what's Bubba like? I mean, has he ever yelled at you?
I love Bubba. I love him to death. He is very intimidating, put it that way. Especially if you're a new student. Very, very intimidating. But once he really knows that you are in it, and you're in it for real, like, I don't find him intimidating anymore. Like, I just see him as Bubba now. But I've known him for years and years. So, I'm no longer, like, scary. I can totally see why people are intimidated by him, scared of him, because he is very intimidating. He has a big, huge persona, with a big, huge, he is, you know, like, Bully Ray, you know, and I think it's, I mean, when you do something stupid, like, if you mess up, he's not going to yell at you, but if you continue to make the same mistake over and over, that's when he gets mad. Because obviously you were not paying attention to him. You were not taking the notes and applying them. And that's when he gets mad. Oh, believe me, I took notes. And I would never forget them. Because you don't want Bubba to yell at you. So, I've seen him go off a couple times on some people. And it's, like, really stupid mistakes. So it's not like, oh, well, you messed up that move. Or, you know, you didn't know what you were doing in the match. Like, that doesn't really make sense. Story. He doesn't yell at you for that. He tells you your note, you know, you take it and you apply it. But if he gives you the same note over and over and over, that's when he loses it. So that's when, you know, Bubba Ray comes out and you're like, oh shit. Everyone take cover.
Now, like some wrestling schools, you know, some of the guys who are behind them, sometimes they're not the ones training you, and then some schools like Lansdorf, he's the one actually training you. How hands on are the Dudleys at the school? Are they training you? Do they have other trainers? Or how does the Dudley school work?
They are very much hands on, especially Devon. He is the beginner class. He is someone that teaches you the moves and mat wrestling and chain wrestling and. You know, he is in there with you. He is rolling around there in there with you. And Bubba is, they used to, because I was there when the school opened, and they used to be there the entire time, all the time. And Bubba would also do the morning class and stuff, but you know how life is. So now they kind of split the classes up. Devon does all the beginner stuff where he teaches you how to do the moves, teaches you how to get in the ring and roll around and do all the awesome mat wrestling stuff, and then Bubba is now the psychology part of class. He teaches you how to put a match together, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, how to create a character, how to do a promo. So they are very much hands-on. So now that Tina is on the road, they do go more often. So they do have a couple student trainers but they're always there, especially J.C. Vaughn, because he's around more now because he's no longer with them. So he is there a lot more now. But, like, when I was there, when I first started, every day, they were there, and, like, from open to close. And they also have a personal trainer. And a lot of times, like, if they, like, Bubba has to, you know, do an interview or go somewhere, like, he'll give us the personal trainer and we'll work out. And we get our butts kicked working out. Or we'll, all right, hey, guys, I got to do this, put some matches together, I'll be back in an hour, I'll show your matches. You know, like, you know, if he has whatever he needs to take business to take care of. But they're very much hands-on.
Now, speaking of hands-on, I've heard a story where Bubba actually left his handprint on you. And
yes,
could you tell us about that story?
We were doing shop class, and it was pretty much, it was one of those classes. Most of the time, these classes just learn how to do food properly, or how to take a pop, probably how to learn how to protect yourself. Those other classes, plus the very, 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 very blue moon, that is a toughening class, toughens you up. And he was giving everyone stiff clothesline. Nothing, not enough to, like, injure or anything, but one of those just make you stronger and harder, you know, like, y'all learn how to take hits, you know, it's not ballet. So then you got to chop class. And for the girls, you know, this is still really, really early in the training, so he was a little apprehensive about chop skills. Like, I don't know, I was going to give you guys a choice. You can either take a really stiff clothesline, or you can take chop. And I was over clothesline. I'm like, no, I'm going to do chop class. The boys are doing chop class. I'm going to do chop class. I'm over the stiff clothesline. So every other girl in front of me, clothesline. It gets to me. Oh, yes, it was like three clotheslines this time in the class. Then it got to me, and he was like, what do you want? I guess he was assuming I was the last person in line. I was going to say clothesline. I was like, chop. He was like, what? Hey, yeah, you got to do the double take. What? And I'm like, I'm going to chop. He's like, sure. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, all right, brace yourself. So I braced myself over the rope. He gave me one of his patents over the hand of a chop. It stung so bad. His hand is like the size of my chest. So pretty much I had a handprint for a week on my chest. And I worked at Universal Studios doing shows, characters, walk-around stuff. And I was putting a costume on, and I had, like, a tank top or whatever. And I took the costume off, and someone was like, oh, my God, is that a handprint? Where'd you get the handprint? What happened? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a job. Like, oh, my. Like, people at work were freaking out. Like, do we need to call somebody? I'm like, no, you're fine. It's consensual.
That's pretty funny. Now, when I saw you, you were working for Shimmer, and Shimmer is like probably there's many companies for women wrestlers, but Shimmer is kind of like the standard, the big one that's been there forever. And up until recently, you were part of a tag team, like I had mentioned, with Allison Danger called Regeneration X. And how did you get paired with Allison Danger? I mean, she's one of those I almost want to say the original core indie women wrestlers that kind of brought, you know, women's wrestling to like a new height, along with like cheerleader Melissa, Sarah Ray, and a few other girls. What was it like teaming with her, and how did that tag team come about?
Actually, it came about through Shimmer. I was early on in my career at Shimmer. They had me booked against Allison Danger, and that was like, she was definitely taking on a role, taking a lot of younger wrestlers and wrestling with them just to kind of bring them up to the next level. And it was my turn. And we got in there and we just like clicked. Everything clicked in there. Like, we just had so much fun wrestling each other. It just was a really good match. It just all clicked. And then outside of the ring, like, we were back, you know, backstage when we were hanging out, whenever, waiting for your next match, going to the next match, whatever costumes. Her and I just really got along. Like, we found out we both were into very similar shows. Like, she saw my suitcase, and at the time I had a huge Dharma patch on it from the TV show Lost. She was huge into Lost, so we're like, wait, you watch Lost? I watch Lost. It's awesome. So we started talking about Lost. And then we found out we both watch Doctor Who. And then, like, wait, you watch Doctor Who? I watch Doctor Who. And, like, we just kept finding, like, little, like, things. Like, oh, wait, you read that book too? I read that book. That book's awesome, you know? So we just kept, like, it was around the exact same time we did that match, you know, against each other. And it was just, like, we were on Twitter, and she was just, like, she private messaged me. She was like, hey, we should really do this. And I'm like, I'm with you, because we have so much in common. We gel really well together, and it would be really cool to have, like, a different style of tag team as opposed to just, oh, we're here, we're going to beat you up. Or, you know, we wanted to bring fun into wrestling. We want to bring, you know, entertainment into an entertainment, you know, industry. So we really wanted to bring that side of Shimmer. We wanted to bring some fun into it. And, I mean, there's so many serious teams, so many badass teams. We knew we had a lot of good people to bounce off of, and it just kind of went from there.
Now, did you guys start right away with doing the costumes or characters, or is that something that you worked your way to?
Well, at that point, I was already doing costumes myself. So she was, the first couple times we tagged together, she was matching me, like, color-wise, but she was still wearing gear-ish. And then each time we did a match, she'd get a little bit more costumey. And I was like, yeah, man! I was, like, kind of pulling her to it. I was, like, doing costumes that she'd have to get actually into a costume and not match me. Like, I was like, hey, we should do this, and we should do that. And next thing you know, she's wearing costumes, too. So I totally was like, hey, we should do this costume. And she's like, oh, that's gonna be fun, you know. Like I would present it to be like, hey, we should totally do this. Like, okay. She's like, you know, not a big deal that I'm also doing costumes. Like, no, we're a tag team. It's awesome. I love it. I want you to do this. So, and so like her and I would like get on box or get on, you know, like texting or whatever. Like, all right, what's the next set of costumes? Okay, let's start working on it. So she was getting to making her own, you know, gear and all clothes and stuff. So she really wanted to make her own stuff, so she was like, hit me up early. She's like, alright, I'm making some stuff. What do we got? So it kind of happened that way.
Yeah, I marked out for the Day in the Silent Bob when you guys came out, because I wasn't expecting it, because like I said, it was the first time I had seen you, so I wasn't really familiar with it. And then you guys came out, I was like, what's going on? And I'm like, it took me like a few seconds to realize that you guys were Day and Silent Bob. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. And you had a good match. It was you and Allison. You guys were teaming with Serena Deeb, and you had Daphne in your corner. And how did you feel that match went and that show? Because there was a lot of people at that show, and it was one of the highlights for me for that whole weekend. And how did you like that show and just that event?
It was a lot of fun. It was very different for Shimmer, and it felt very, very different for Shimmer, because Shimmer's always in the Berwyn Eagles Club in Berwyn, Illinois, as long as I can remember. For years and years now, I've always been there to do a Shimmer show outside of its home venue. So weird, but it was also kind of cool. And it was really awesome to be part of such a huge wrestling event. I mean, there's so many different companies represented that weekend, so it was really awesome to be a part of that and be like, all right, yeah, I'm flying up to, you know, to New Jersey because I'm part of this huge event. So it's very, you know, humbling and exciting. So I got up there, we found out, all right, here's the match we're doing, and I love everyone in that match, so it was just so much fun. I really enjoyed it. I couldn't have picked anything better. Great partners. I had great opponents. I enjoy wrestling every one of those girls. Having Daphne there, which was an awesome surprise. I didn't expect that either. I didn't know that was going to happen until I got up there. So, Daphne there, this is fantastic. So it was just everything about that. And then being in New Jersey, I really wanted to represent New Jersey. So I was like, all right, what's awesome from New Jersey? Oh, Jay and Silent Bob. Kevin Smith is from New Jersey. All right, because I've been to New Jersey a couple times. The first time I've ever been to New Jersey, I was actually going up to do a secret stash slash Clerks tour. He was opening his brand new comic book shop at the time. They were doing a huge Clerks Chasing Amy like tour. They had like Brian O'Halloran and a couple of different actors from the movies get on the tour bus with you and take you everywhere they shot and tell you all sorts of stories and stuff. So that was the first time I was ever in New Jersey. So it just made sense for me to be like, all right, I'm in New Jersey. What do I think of when I'm in New Jersey? I don't personally think of Jersey Shore. That's just not me. That's not my style. So when I think of New Jersey, I think of Kevin Smith. So that was, like, my first thing. I was like, I really want to do this. But I didn't know if, like, you know, Danger would be into it. So I kind of, like, asked, you know, when I finally got around to ask her, she was 100% into it. I was like, oh, yes, this is awesome. So.
Yeah. Now, you had mentioned Daphne, and I had met Daphne at the WrestleMania weekend in Houston, and I had seen her at the ROH shows, but at the time she was doing the Sarah Palin gimmick in TNA, but at the show she was just dressed normal, you know, all with her tattoos showing, excuse me, and I was too intimidated to go talk to her at the ROH shows. I was like, my friends were like, oh, go say hello, go ask for an autograph. I was just like, petrified of her. And then later on that night at this one bar, I ended up meeting and talking to her, and she comes off as the sweetest, nicest girl ever. I mean, I love Daphne. That was you know, really cool to see her and talk to her again on that show. So yeah, that was real cool seeing that match. I wanted to ask you though, right after that, I think maybe after the next Shimmer tapings, Allison Danger retired? Is that true?
Yes, it is. She has some health issues, and it was also just she felt it was the right time. You know, she wants to be able to do it on her own and not be forced out of it. And that makes sense. She don't want to be like, well, I'm retiring from a hospital bed, or I'm retiring from, you know, like, she wanted to go out her own way, you know, and while she can still, you know, do everything she wants to do, you know. So it was completely all her decision. And I support her 100%, you know. It was very touching and very emotional weekend, just because Regeneration X means so much to me. And no longer, you know, I mean, she's still going to be around, and, you know, hopefully it all works out. Maybe she can come out with me and stuff when I go out and wrestle, but it's kind of an end of the era for me, you know? Like, I'm no longer tagging Valentine's Major. I got to fly, you know, spread my wings and fly out of the mother's nest, you know? So it was, you know, so emotional for her, and it was so emotional, you know, for everyone. Like, everyone in the back was crying. She was crying. Lana was crying, and that made me cry more. It was just so, so emotional. But every time I go to Shimmer, it's usually always in some sort of a huge emotional moment for me. So it was something I was really honored to be a part of. The fact that I was in her last match. I was in Allison Danger's last match. You know, that's such a huge honor just to say that. You know, there's only three people involved, well, four if you count the rest, who is Bryce. Four people involved in that match besides Allison Danger, and I was one of those people. So that was a really big deal to me. Very big honor. So I was very, very happy with that weekend. I think she was very happy. I mean, obviously, you know, you're an emotional wreck because it's the end of an era for yourself, but she was happy with how it went down. So yeah.
That's cool. Now, I've also heard that after the shows, you guys kind of have, like, a karaoke contest, and that she won the karaoke contest that weekend.
Did she? I think she might have, yeah. Sometimes we do karaoke. We always start off with the after party, and we eat and hang out with the fans. And then depending on if we feel like it, sometimes it's karaoke, sometimes it's other stuff, like different, just whatever's open, honestly, and we can find. But yeah, that night we ended up doing a karaoke thing, and she ended up winning.
That's cool. I remember a year or two ago we had Prazak on the show, and he was actually it was the night of the tapings or right before the tapings, and he was calling from like a restaurant where he was trying to get seats for like 20 or 30 of y'all, and I thought that was pretty funny because you could hear like the waitress like trying to talk to him about like, how many people came through. And so what's it like working for Dave Prazak?
It's awesome. I really, really enjoy it because he's so professional, especially in a business where a lot of people aren't professional. Very, very professional. I mean, very to the point, very, hey, this is what I want to do. This is my idea. It's not like beating around the bush or changing his mind every 2 seconds. You know, it's very professional. It's very nice. You know, like he's quiet, so people think, oh, well, he may not like me, or he's, you know, like, no, he's just quiet. He's a really nice guy. He's so nice. One of the nicest. So I enjoy working for him a lot. He's a great guy to work for. Again, one of the most professional people in the business. I respect him 100%, and I am very proud to work for him.
That's cool. Yeah, he's a good friend of the show. I mean, it's actually one of the things I mark out about is that someone in his position in wrestling actually takes the time to, like, listen to our show. It's actually pretty cool. But moving from Shimmer, you also work a lot for Shine. And can you tell us a little bit about Shine? Is it kind of in a way related to Shimmer, or is it its own company? What can you tell us about Shine? Because it's kind of new, but it's been making like a lot of waves as far as like you know, shows and a lot of great talent on those shows also.
Shine and Shimmer are kind of like sister companies, so to speak. Kind of they operate independently on their own, but they are both supportive of each other. We've defended the Shimmer title on Shine, and I'm maybe vice versa. No, I don't think we've had the title at this point, because the title just happened, so never mind.
Sure.
But no, we've you know, had the Shimmer title, I think, twice now on Shimmer, on Shine. So it's a very good working relationship. When we first started, things would go through Dave, you know, like storyline-wise and stuff, but now it's kind of taken its own, like, its own presence, its own personality, its own company. I mean, it's also in the same family with all of the W in live companies, which is FIP, Rogue. I know we've had stuff crossed over from there. There's been Shine featured matches on both Evolve and FIP. So they're all kind of somewhat related, but separate on their own. Yeah, when we first started, I think they used Shimmer kind of like, hey, if you're a fan of Shimmer, you'll be a fan of Shine. And
uh-huh.
Now it's separate on its own, but still in the same family, if that makes any sense.
What does it mean, like Shimmer is like more of a like a DVD kind of thing, where Shine is the iPay-per-view?
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
And Shine is once a month. It operates, once a month on iPay-per-view. Also, you get a video on demand. We do DVDs, but the DVD production is a little slow, I do believe. I think. Because he's working on three different shows at the same time. He's working on Evolve, on FIP, and Shine. So it's really hard to get these out. But I think we're up to DVD 4 or 5, maybe 6. I think I don't know if those are out yet or not. But they're all, you know, so you can access them all through the website. And stream them. Like, iPay-per-view is now the way of the future. I honestly believe that. And a lot of other companies are starting behind that. If you look, like, other companies are like, oh, hey, let's jump on the bandwagon. And it makes sense, because in this day and age of technology, you get so much information at your fingertips. Like, snap of a finger, bam, information's there. So So iPay-per-view is kind of the medium of choice for Shine. Shimmer's been doing DVDs for, what number are we at now, 58, 59? For so much, it's just how it is, and I love it, because you can go back, you know, years, and like, oh, look, awesome. So I love it, because it's such an archive of amazing women's wrestling. So I love how, again, like I said, each company, they started off, you know, Shine started off as part of it, but now it's like its own person, you know, same thing with Shane, its own entity, and it's really cool. I really like how each have their own flavor, each have their own style.
I like how, like, on the last few Shines, you know, you're kind of a small girl. You know, as far as you're usually the heels are bigger than you. But it seems like the last few shows on Shine, you've been playing, like, especially because you've been playing some of your characters have been the Joker or Mad Max. And you've been, like, a real ass kicker, like, the last few shows. And what are your thoughts on your last few matches in Shine?
Yeah, I love that. I love being known as, like, I'm totally feeling, since I'm sitting in the middle of, you know, lockers right now, I'm going to totally feel that. I'm going to blow ass kicker, because I love it. I've just taken everything and made them more aggressive. You know, I'm no longer, you know, this happy-go-lucky geek that gets pushed around anymore. You know, I've kind of grown my backbone. I've embraced some darkness and found that, you know, I use it as a weapon now. And I'm loving kind of the direction I'm going and Shine. And, you know, not bad, just dark, you know, just intimidating. You know, people use different things for their advantage as weapons and stuff. Some people use their size. Some people use their strength. Some people, you know, and for me, I use darkness, use intimidation factors, use fear. You know,
yeah.
I'm finding that that's kind of worked for me, you know, and kudos to Shine for letting me grow and stretch as, you know, a wrestler, as a performer, as a person, you know, and I'm really exploring all these new ways, new options, and finding out that some things work and some things don't. It's so, like, as a performer, as someone who studied, you know, acting and stunts and wrestling, it's really amazing when you get the chance to learn and to grow on your own. Not someone saying, here's what you do, with what works. What works for me? What can I do that's different? You know, what can I do that's outside the box? And having the person in charge go, you know what? Let's do it. Go for it. Again, some of it works awesomely, some of it doesn't. And the last several opponents, it's, like I said, not that they're smaller, but, I mean, if you look, was it June or was it May? No, it was June or May. I don't know. I had TaylorMade. I think I might be actually a hair bigger than her. That's kind of cool. And then one after that was Mia Yim. She's bigger than me, but not overly bigger. You know what I mean? She's just stronger. We're close to the same height, and it was awesome to work her because we're so tight, you know, in real life. It was really awesome, and I think I really got to show what I can do. Because sometimes, you know, like I think a lot of people, like, they don't see past the costume. So being able to do that match was like, no, yo, I can actually wrestle. And then the one after that, you know, I got to try a couple different things. And again, Von Erie is known for wrestling men, but she's really not that big. You know, we're close in size. I may be a hair smaller, but again, it's not like Kong. You know, like when it's like, all right,
yeah.
Well, I'm running and I just ran into a brick wall. Bam. I've done that several times. Like, can I go? Bam. Done.
Yeah,
a little like.
Yeah, she's like, I've seen her in person, and Christina's like, she is really tiny. And the one time I saw him, she didn't...
Don't take the size. No, like, and that's a lot of people are like, oh, you're so cute and tiny. No, sometimes you get tiny, but we're like the meanest. Because you have to be, like, especially growing up. If you're like the small one in class, small one in families, you're going to get picked on. You got to learn how to be a scrapper. You can't just start, well, here we go. Keep me up. You got to learn how to... sometimes when it's writing dirty, being scrappy, learning how to, you know, like, I call myself, like, the master of, like, getting out of any mood. Especially, like, if you're, like, playing wrestling with, like, friends or family, you know, relatives, and, like, they put you in a hold, man, I can almost do that every time. Because, like, I'm an escape artist. I put a bunch of rings up there, and now I've mastered that skill.
Not too long ago, and unfortunately I had some car trouble, so I wasn't able to make the drive to Austin, but you competed for the, I think it's the Queen of the Joshies tournament, and you did quite well. How did you enjoy that experience?
I'm sorry, one more time?
You were in the Queen of the Queen of the Joshies tournament in Austin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how did you enjoy that?
That was so much fun. It was second time I got to... Was it second time or the first? Oh, no, it was the first time, I do believe. First time I was at ACW, and I fell in love with that place. That place is very similar to me, because the fans and wrestlers there are all, like, super deep. They get me. You know, so coming out, like, I'm not going to lie, and sometimes you get you... or an outfit, you're like, alright, you didn't get over really well, or people want to hate it. And that's how I was about it in Madala. I was like, alright, here we go. This is the year I did. Like, I came out and, like, broke it down. With small hat and the ridiculous Madala makeup. So I'm like, this is either going to get, like, praised, or they're going to hate me. Well, find out! And, like, they get it, because they're just like me. You know, like, the fans there, the wrestlers there, are just like me. And being in a place that's like that, you just, I love it. I love being there because it's almost like a home away from home, you know? It's just, they get me there. I love it. I love it. I don't know if you're talking or not. All I hear is like, zombie walker music. Hello, did I lose you? Hello, hello. Oh no! I mean, this connection. Hello? Hello, hello?
Okay, everybody, I'm sorry, my phone just decided to reset in the middle of the interview, and we got disconnected, and apparently Couture got disconnected too, so I apologize for the silence. I am going to try and get Liva back on just to wrap up and get her plugs in. Hopefully she'll people answer. So it's going to be a little dead air here for a second. Actually, let me say this thing. It's just going to be dead air for a few seconds. So please bear with me, and I'll be right back. Okay, everybody, I'm back with Leva, and I apologize for the inconvenience and the few minutes of dead air time, but I do have Leva back on. And Leva, before we let you go, I did want to give you a chance to plug all your dates and your social media stuff, so please go ahead and let us know what's going on.
Okay, next weekend, I wrestle for Shine number 13 at the Orpheum. Laura, and you can also find it on www.live.com on IP from you. Definitely check it out. I am 101 with Nevaeh. We've wrestled several times in tags before. This is the first time 101, and I'm pretty pumped about that. And then Sunday, I will be going to Jersey to wrestle for Wrestling Respect against Nevaeh Scott. I'm pretty pumped about that. Them at all, so I'm really excited about that. Hopefully, I'll go well. No, like you're doing it. I got really, really there. And then the next weekend after that, I believe my name is correct, is AIW Girls Night Out, 9 and 10. That's going to be Sunday after Wrestling Respect. And I'll be in Ohio.
You're breaking up a little bit. Could you get on your Twitter and Facebook?
Do what? Twitter and Facebook. I am Wrestling Leva on Twitter, as well as Leva Face official FB page on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram as Wrestling Leva. Pretty much, if you follow any of those three, you'll figure out what I'm doing.
Now, before I let you go, I've gone through YouTube and watched a bunch of your matches, and I've seen like a bunch of the different gimmicks that you've done, like from Iron Man to the villain on Saw to a bunch of other ones. But the one I marked out for, because I'm hoping it's the character I think it was. But in a match with Santana Garnett, please tell me you were doing Squirrel Girl.
Who? I'm sorry?
Squirrel Girl.
Alright, I'm having a hard time hearing you. One more time. Who was I wrestling?
You're wrestling Santana Garnett, and I think the gimmick you were doing was Squirrel Girl.
No, I haven't done Squirrel Girl yet. Not that I don't want to.
Okay.
I was wrestling Santana in this one company. They kept making me one day I'm a good guy, and the next week I'm actually a bad guy for no reason. And then I go back, and then I'll be a good guy again. So there was one time, and they're like, well, you're a bad guy now. And I'm like, for no reason. Okay, well, I'm going to be Smith Head Wolf. So I just had like a little wolf hat and like a little silver and like furry outfit. So I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, it wasn't Squirrel Girl. Sorry.
I saw when I saw that, I was like, oh, that is so cool.
That's one of the many of them.
Cool. Well, Leva, I want to thank you for taking the time to do the interview. I know you like got a lot going on, so I really appreciate it. And I wish the best in your career, and I hope you have a really good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to go back and hang out with the walkers.
Sounds like a fun night.
All right. Have a good night, hon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Katrina, are you back?
Yes.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened.
You wanted to say like a real bye?
All you have to do is hang up and we'll be done.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Awesome.
Thanks again.
Thanks a lot, hon. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, I apologize. Earlier, like I said, my phone just totally decided to, like, reset, and then it took forever for it to reset, and then it just kind of sucked. So I apologize for everyone for the dead air.
I don't know what happened, but I think she was the only one on the show.
She was, because I was watching this. I saw both. I could see you were on hold. So I kind of put you off of hold, maybe hoping you'd see that and kind of take over. But then I saw you just got disconnected, and then she was like the only one for a few minutes. So I was like, oh, man, I'm here, and I'm just waiting for this dang thing to start. I was like, oh, God. But luckily I was able to get a hold of her again and at least.
One time you have somebody call in instead of you calling somebody.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, even if I had called her, my phone probably still would have reset and probably still would have got disconnected. So, you know, that's what happens. And, you know, can't no control over that. And hopefully the audio is sounding better. I know it's been a lot of static the last couple weeks, and everyone's trying to blame me, but it's not me. It's a Blog Talk issue. We had it for a while, and then they fixed it. And we had a string of shows that didn't have any static whatsoever. And unfortunately, like the last couple, it's come back. So hopefully Blog Talk will get that resolved right away.
Yeah.
Because that does kind of suck. And it was really bad last week. It was really bad last week. But, so hopefully Blog Talk can get their act in gear and fix the audio here. We got about 16 minutes. Let me go ahead and draw the plugs already. So we can just go ahead and finish talking about whatever we want to talk about before we go. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can download and stream our shows at angrymarks.com. along with a lot of other shows. And check us out at angrymarks.com. You can always download our shows here at blogtalkradio.com/Katrair and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. Just because she was breaking up, I do want to plug that Level Date movie on Shine 13. And then next weekend she's doing Wrestling Is Wrestling Is Respect, and she's also doing an AIW Girls Night Out show. And you can, like say, follow her on Twitter at Wrestling Leva and Instagram too. And she does have a website. She doesn't update it too much, but it's www.levaupdate.mixforum.com. So check her out there. She's, like I say, she has the greatest gimmick. I mean, she's done like the girls from like the video games, like the Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. She's done Iron Man. She's done like different types of killers. she's done like a lot of stuff. And the thing is, she can actually work. I mean, she's actually awesome. She does all kinds of different stuff. And I think she's a really up and comer. And she said she doesn't want to portray like the pretty girl, but she is actually very pretty. She has some of the most beautiful eyes in pro wrestling, and just real cool. I mean, I really I really got into her at that WrestleCon last year. So hopefully, I know Shimmer is doing WrestleCon this year. So hopefully, Dave will put her on the show next year. I can see her again, and go ahead and
well,
throw
hopefully
out your
she place. Reaches hopefully she reaches the top of the profession, which would be on Total Divas.
Yeah, she'd be great for Total Divas, you know, with all her like I say, she's kind of like a little wacky with the coach play gimmick and everything. So I think she could make it up there. And speaking of Total Divas, I was devastated the other day when I found out that Gizmo died.
Oh, Gizmo died. I have not heard of it.
You didn't hear? Yeah, Gizmo. He passed away the other day. TJ was posting pictures on Facebook of him and Gizmo, and made the comment. Dave even brought it up on one of the on the Wednesday show that he died. And yeah, that's kind of sad. It was. I laughed my ass off when they had him dressed up in that little tuxedo, and the expression on his face was like, "What's going on here? What's happening?"
That's terrible. I hate when a kid dies. Old.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you know, I had my cat for close to 18 years, so I can kind of relate to that. But yeah, that was kind of sad. But yeah, I can't wait. You know, it won't be that long before Total Divas comes back, one of the greatest TV shows of all time. And yeah, I highly enjoyed Total Divas. But
anyway, let me get my plug real quick. I'm on Twitter at Couture35. I'm also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Couture. Is that anything wrestling related you want to watch? I got a bunch of Memphis up there. I put some new Memphis in the 1986 playlist this week, so you can go and check that out. And we got some Hulk Hogan Rock and Wrestling playlist. So a lot of Smoky Mountain Wrestling episodes. Some NWA from 1984. Just a bunch of good stuff. I like watching old wrestling. So go up there and check that out.
Cool. And we got 12 minutes here, so anything you want to talk about before we go?
What do you think of Breaking Bad this past week? I thought it was maybe one of the best episodes.
Mixed emotions, because I was hoping that Hank was going to bring him to justice or somehow be involved in his demise, because over the years I've gone from supporting Walter White, so hoping Walter White dies a horrible death. So seeing Hank go was kind of sucked. But
yeah,
I will say that I marked out for fucking Flynn fucking standing up to him and calling the cops on him. And you know what I mean? I enjoyed that.
When he and Skyler were struggling over the knife, I said, oh no, the kid's going to wind up and is going to accidentally stab the kid. That's what I thought was going to happen.
I thought he was going to stab Skyler by accident, you know what I mean? Like, maybe struggling and she'd, like, fall on the knife or something. And
it's weird that you know, throughout the series, you wonder, you know, what's it going to be like when all this stuff comes out, and it's just weird that it's all happening now. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
And then that phone call near the end of the show, god damn. That was something else.
Yeah, he's like I say, he's a
thing. He was trying to protect her more than anything, you know. I just, you know, kind of putting everything on himself or whatever, but.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was pretty fucked up, what he told Jesse. I mean, you see the cold blood side of him, like what he's telling
him. Oh,
yeah,
when
he talked
about being there when Jane died.
Yeah. Don't you think Jane looks like that Paige from NXT?
I don't know that I've seen Paige from NXT.
Oh, okay. Well, to me, she looks kind of like her. And so. But,
what do you think of the Sons of Anarchy the past couple weeks since this started?
It's been pretty good. The first episode was awesome. This past week was good, but it wasn't as good as the first one. I liked how they, you know what I mean? Because it's like, at the end of the season, things, usually for the most part, are like things are kind of going good or like they're something. And then in the first episode, they always find some way to just throw everything in chaos. And I thought they did a good job with the school shooting. Like, honestly, when they first showed that boy in the beginning, I thought it was like a young version of Jack, you know, like maybe like a
flashback
kind of a thing.
Yeah, or something, you know?
And then it,
you know what it was.
And then, yeah, it seemed like that, and it just, you see him like, he was, I don't want to say he was in every scene, but every character crossed his path at some point. So then I was kind of like, what exactly is going on? Excuse me. And then, you know, he ends up, you know, doing the school massacre shooting.
Yeah, I knew where it was going when I saw him take out the gun. Yeah. going to be where he got the gun from them. So.
Yeah, and right before that, like when he starts rolling up the sleeves and he's got all the razor marks on the one arm, it's like, what the fuck? And then he pulls out the gun and it's like, oh, okay, that's where it's going. And
I could have done without the torture porn stuff. That was gross.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty sick.
He drowned him in a bathtub full of piss.
Do you realize that every bad thing that happens to the Sons of Anarchy is all Pig's fucking fault? In the very first episode.
Every season he flips out and does something and he comes back and fucks them.
Or like in the way it started, when the Mexicans hit one of their stash places, he had two bitches that he had he was hiding out there that got burnt up and stuff. And
yeah.
It's like Pig is somehow, and he's one of my favorite characters, but somehow he just finds a way to screw everything up for everyone. I'm guessing by the time this series finally ends that he's probably not going to be with us any longer.
The way they're going now, it feels like it's the end of the series, kind of, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. He's trying
to get out, and Clay's in jail, and everything's out about him and stuff. So
it's been pretty good. And then we got Walking Dead should be coming back pretty soon too. So there's some good TV going on.
I could do without the daily raping of Otto by the guy's friends.
Well, at least they didn't show anything this week. But it's like, God damn it, just fucking kill Otto already. Get him out of his misery. What the fuck? Why does this poor guy gotta suffer so much?
It's like the worst thing is the guy can't even scream.
Yeah.
He's got no tongue. Bit his own tongue off.
Yeah, I can barely see. It's like, God, man, poor Otto. Just kill the dude already.
But yeah, that's been pretty good. My mom started watching it, so. That show's crazy. I said, yep.
The what?
She said, that show's crazy. I said, yep, it is.
Yeah, seen nothing yet. There's some crazy shit that's been on that show. Remember when Pig was all in love with the transsexual they hired to take those photos with that guy?
It was the guy from The Shield. I don't know if you're watching The Shield. Did you watch The Shield?
I watched a little bit of The Shield here and there. I know they have different. I know the one guy, who sits on the mine that one time or got blown up. It was from The Shield. Black lady, the black lady from The Shield. I recognize her.
He was the transsexual or whatever. He was one of the cops on The Shield. And yeah, I remember that.
That's funny. But it's been pretty good.
And we only got Breaking Bad, we got two more episodes, I think.
Yeah, two more episodes, and then they're done, and see how they wrap it up. I hope he dies.
Obviously, something happened going down the road because he's back in, and he's got a full head of hair and like a flash forward thing. So
Yeah, so hopefully it'll explain everything. As long as he dies, I'll be very pissed off if he doesn't die at the end of the series.
And I hope Todd doesn't die. I like Todd. He's nice.
Todd.
Yeah, the kid, his uncle is like the guy that killed Hank.
Todd, okay. Yeah.
He does all this bad shit, but he's just courteous and nice as could be about everything.
Oh, I know, right? He's the most polite bad guy ever. We'll see. Hopefully, I heard they're thinking about making a spinoff, a prequel with Saul. That'll be pretty fun. He's Saul's a good character.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah. Is there anything? We got 5 minutes. Anything wrestling news that we need to talk about or bring up? Anything big that's happened lately?
I don't think so. Hasn't been that much. I watched Dick Carter turn heel last night. That was horrible. don't know why they put her on TV.
Well, I don't know. She's hot, but that's about it. Every time I see her, I just think how perfect she'd be for a Brazzers video.
I like Dusty Rhodes on Monday. I thought he was very good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dusty was pretty good. He's he hasn't lost it as far as cutting the promos. And he's in the best shape I ever seen him in since, like, fucking... Unless he's seen, like, footage of him in the 70s.
Maybe instead of Dusty and his son, so do like... Take Cody and Goldust. Maybe they'll throw Road Dogg in there since his brother got fired or something.
Yeah, maybe. No. Yeah. But I don't know. As long as Dusty's around for a little longer, I mean, that's always good. Did you see any of the leaked NXT interviews?
No, I just saw like there was a thread or something about him, but I didn't really look at him.
Okay. I've seen one of them, and... It actually made me laugh my ass off because I haven't seen any NXT. I've only heard them from the Brian and Vinny show. And I, you know, they talk about that Bailey character who's like, she's a mark and all she wants to do is hug everybody. And then Paige, the one I brought up earlier, she's like the champion and she used to wrestle for Shimmer and all those groups. So I'm kind of familiar with her. But they were kind of like, it's like the gist of their, like, segment or, like, the thing was they were doing, like, the opposite. Like, they had Paige doing Bailey's gimmick where Paige was the mark trying to be, like, marking out for Bailey. And it was actually fucking hilarious as shit. I got a kick out of it. I thought it was awesome. And, yeah, if you get a chance, you should check some of them out. I'm going to look up and see if I can find some more besides that one. And, yeah, that was actually pretty cool. I guess someone hacked into their fucking video thing or something.
Yeah, they got that NXT. It's on the free version of Hulu. If you want to go watch a bunch of it, they got all the episodes there. So.
Yeah, I've been meaning to do that when I have a chance. I just haven't had too much of a chance.
Yeah, I mean, most people say it's like the best wrestling show on TV now.
Well, I know Robert says that, so who knows. But I actually had a case of food poisoning this past week, so that kind of took me out for a couple of days.
Mm.
But, yeah, other than that, the numbers came out for SummerSlam, and I think this might be the first WWE pay-per-view that's not WrestleMania to, like, beat a UFC pay-per-view. And, that's kind of a big thing. I don't know exactly what the total numbers are, but it's pretty close.
Well, the SummerSlam number was down this year, if I remember.
It was actually down this year? It was like about 400. Wasn't it like 400,000?
I'm going to check real quick.
It was like 180-something domestic and 112 worldwide.
Hmm.
So that's about 400. I mean, that's actually pretty good considering them, you know. But, are you looking for it?
Yeah, I'm looking for it. I'm going to have it in just a second.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I thought
Sting was hired as a trainer this week for NXT.
Was?
Recent. Yeah.
Who?
Eugene McDinsmore.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand you at first. I hadn't heard about that at all, but that's pretty cool. He's a decent wrestler.
Let's say the early estimate from WWE SummerSlam review is 293,000 buys, which is down from 358,000 last year.
Oh, wow. I thought it was more than that.
I don't know.
Oh, well. Anyway,
it's
still
a good place, main event.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
But, yeah. But, I guess we're already on our overrun here, so we'll go ahead and wrap up the list. Is there any last thing you want to talk about?
You're not watching ROH free tonight?
I'm about to see if I can still get on it as soon as we wrap up.
Yeah, they got a bunch of results up. I was on the front page. Just reading what's going on.
Okay. I'll go ahead and see if I can get on, and we'll be back next week. Hopefully, Craig will be here fully intact with all his body parts and not all drugged up and stuff. And hopefully, we'll work on either a topic or a guest. So everybody, come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man!
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the matrix shit! Let's go hook him up!
For some reason, the theme music sounded like shit to me, so I'm just gonna go ahead and end it right now. So everybody come back next week.